Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going?
Wonderful. I wish my spring breaks could be this exciting.
Spring break?
Yeah, it's a thing back when we were in college. I don't know if you remember it.
In school, not just college.
Well, yeah, when you were little, though, you couldn't really do anything about it, really.
I mean, you could sit and read books.
Yeah, that does sound pretty awesome right now. If only I had the time.
Hey guys, we are brought to you by supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month. Gain access to all of our bonus content and help us keep this show going. We have someone to thank, Matt.
We do.
We do indeed. Freddie Brudos. Thank you very much, Freddie.
Freddie, you're A-okay in my book.
A-okay. Also, if you guys want to help the show, you can also give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever podcast service you use. Subscribe. Tell your friends. All those things help, and we do appreciate all of them. On to this week's episode. It is Bart on the Road, episode 3F17. Originally aired March 31st, 1990. Should be 1996. 1996, written by Richard Apple, directed by Swinton host Scott III. Finished 63rd in the ratings, so week of... Nielsen rating 7.2 was the fifth highest rated show on Fox that week, following The X-Files, Cops, Party of Five, Martin, and Melrose Place. Party of Five? Martin?
Yeah, dramas. That's what's gonna happen.
What's that? That guy from Lost. He was in Party of Five. The guy from Lost. Matthew Fox? He was in Party of Five.
Sure.
Yeah, he was. The couch gag. Simpsons are set under the couch like bowling pins.
Yay.
It's all right. We see, episode begins, with Principal Skinner trying to make arrangements for his airline tickets. Not much has changed in the 20 years of flying commercially on aeroplanes because they've gotten all of the information wrong, and for Skinner to change it, it will cost him $7,000.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it seems like that. Yeah, it doesn't seem like that has changed that much. It seems very much like, hey, you want to change your ticket? It'll cost you everything you own. But he has a flight that's leaving Friday morning instead of Saturday morning. How can he close the school a day early for spring break? He can do it by scheduling go to work with your parents day. The kids go to work with their parents and experience however work is.
Work is terrible for everybody.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not good from most. Bart tries to get away with working with Marge at home.
I still don't understand why you get to stay home and watch Mom work.
Because I've always been an advocate of women in the workplace, Lise. I can't help it if Mom's workplace contains our TV.
I'm honored, Bart. And Lisa, you'll have a fine time at the plant with Dad. You've been interested in nuclear power for years.
I've signed numerous petitions to shut down that plant.
Well, there you go.
Mom, you're blocking the TV. If you need something to do, you can fill out my form. Here.
Parents' occupation. Please note, homemaker is not allowed, as it is not real work. That's why you don't get paid for it.
Bart can take my place at the plant.
But he so wanted to see women in the workplace.
Well, how about Aunt Patty and Aunt Selma at the DMV?
Of course, I would never, ever have thought of that.
That is pretty evil. I commend Lisa on her evilness.
I know, that was pretty good. Anytime that Lisa gets a little dirty, I like it. And we, at this point, we are, like, seeing all the different kids that are involved in this episode, really. Their days with their parents, or, in Bart's case, Patty and Selma, at their different workplaces. Milhouse, is this the first time we've seen that Kirk works at the Cracker Factory?
I don't recall them mentioning it before, but...
We haven't got.
I remember Kurt saying something about I'm a big wheel down at the Cracker Factory, but I don't remember when that was.
I thought that's Milhouse Divided, which is later.
Maybe. I remember he gets fired from the Cracker Factory at Milhouse Divided.
Yeah, maybe they've mentioned it before, but regardless, now we see how it works, and it is a crazy robot paradise, as Matt has described it.
Robot paradise.
That's what I mean. There's a guy with wolfhounds going over salt fields and
crackers. Ho!
Yeah, it's a crazy thing.
It's not inefficient at all.
It's pretty neat looking though. Lisa goes to Homer. Goes with Homer. She's a little bored.
Donut?
No thanks. Do you have any fruit?
It says purple stuff inside. Purple is a fruit. Oh, this is a map of nuclear sites around the country. As a safety inspector, I'm responsible for changing most of these light bulbs.
Why are there so many burnt out ones?
Because they won't hire an assistant.
That's one of my favorite things this whole episode. It's like, oh, it's my job to keep them lit. Why are they not lit? Well, they won't hire me an assistant, and I can't actually do my job. That's crazy.
I mean, he gets some of them lit.
Eventually, when Lisa's not there.
Yeah, when Homer, he has to focus on Lisa. Okay. We see Martin at the Springfield stock market?
The futures market. He specifically says soy. So he's buying soy. So that's obviously a futures market.
I assume the futures market is a part of a greater stock market.
Not always. I mean, the Chicago futures market doesn't trade any stocks there, and it's one of the biggest futures markets, or I should say commodities markets in the U.S.
Where do you learn these things, Matt?
Mostly movies and TV shows.
I've seen Trading Places. That's where I got all my futures.
I knew you were going to go there.
That's where I got all my information about stocks.
I also listen to Planet Money.
There you go. You could have just told me that. Martin briefly is a millionaire, and then it's down to $600. He get greedy, as his father told him. Lisa and Homer play, Space Command, or they have fun. And Bart is bored to tears at the DMV.
Shocking.
Patty and Selma.
I can't imagine being bored at the DMV.
I know, it's crazy. Patty and Selma are monsters and make people wait in line, and they enjoy it. I guess if you work at the DMV, you gotta get get the joy where you can. But Bart sees an opportunity to make himself a fake ID and then presents it to Milhouse and Nelson.
You're not 25 years old. This ID is completely fake.
Yes, you're right, Milhouse. It is a fake, which makes it a fake ID.
A fake ID? Cool!
And it's our ticket to the best spring break of our lives. One adult and two children, please.
I can think of at least two things wrong with that title.
Yeah, they saw that they saw Naked Lunch,
which was a bad decision, because anyone who's actually seen Naked Lunch knows that has nothing to do with nudity or lunch. It's very, very sad.
Naked Lunch is a strange movie. I don't think any children would get any pleasure from that movie.
I find it hard to believe any human being would get pleasure from that.
I was going to say most adults probably aren't going to get much pleasure from that movie. Maybe. I don't know. Thus, both the book and the film are very strange things. The kids go to get beers at Moe's. Mo, of course, cards them and accepts the fact that Bart is 25 years old, even though I'm fairly certain he has met Bart before and realizes he is not 25.
Well, yeah, but you know, Mo just wants to make some money.
I mean, they order the beers and then see the barflies and Barney and decide, I'll pass. Pass on the beers. Not necessarily
shocking. Surrounded by terrible alcoholics, you either become an alcoholic or you swear off drinking pretty much entirely.
I don't know. Beer's fine. I like beer. I don't like a lot of it. I'm an old man now.
old man.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it like I used to. They quickly realize that maybe it's not that great being an adult or having adult stuff they could do. And then Martin shows up.
Spring break! Yeah! Well, when are we going to get rowdy?
Maybe when we find something decent to do with this ID.
We could go rent a carpet shampooer.
Greetings, chums. Were your days at work as profitable as mine? I just had a sinful shopping spree at WeWorld.
Well, we're having the best spring break of our lives, and we don't need you around nerding it up.
That job is taken.
But surely I and my $600 could play some small part in your vacation fun.
Oh, yeah, right. Like there's any way to get some kicks with a big wad of cash and a license to drive.
Wow!
Hey! Oh, boy, Flipsy! You and I are going on a road trip! Huh?
Poor Flipsy.
Oh, Nelson, always with the ha-has.
Poor Flipsy, he doesn't make it.
No, Flipsy doesn't make it. But, you know, it happens when you're hanging around Nelson.
I guess that's true. But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see that Bart has gotten an airtight alibi for their adventures. It's a good one.
Gentlemen, for our road trip, I have taken the liberty of preparing an airtight and utterly plausible alibi for use on our parents.
I've been selected to represent the school at the National Grammar Rodeo at the Sheridan Hotel in Canada.
I've been selected to represent the school at the National Grammar Rodeo at the Sheridan Hotel in Canada.
I'm going away for a week. See ya!
Yeah. The National Grammar Rodeo? I wish I were going. Oh, wait. I mean, I wish I was going. Is that right, Bart?
It's not fair. I'm the best student in school. How come I never heard about this competition?
Maybe because you are, as we say in Latin, a Dorcas Malorcas.
That's not Latin.
Mom, Bart's faking it.
Oh, honey, you've had your glory. Now it's Bart's turn.
So, yeah. They're going to the grammar rodeo. And, of course,
I have some questions for you, Matt.
Okay.
The Sheridan Hotel in Canada.
Yeah, there's only one. Didn't you know?
It's very famous. Precisely which Sheridan are we? I mean, I knew this before I lived here, but Canada's a very large place. There's many. You're gonna have to.
Is it really that big?
I drove across a large part of it. Yes, it is. It's quite large.
I mean, physically maybe, but in a cultural context, is it really that big?
I mean, kinda.
Mm-hmm.
It's still pretty big.
That's what I thought.
What do you mean that's what you thought? You Dorcas Malorcas?
Hey. That is quite the insult. I mean, I feel like if you're calling me that, it's because you really hate me.
Matt,
I
say it with the deepest part of my heart, but you certainly are a Dorcas Malorcas.
But yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm not going to fight anymore. if there was ever a title I had, it would be that. It would be primary Dorcas Malorcas person. But anyway, that works. All of their parents buy it. Although Nelson's parents, or mom, I guess, didn't have to buy pretty much anything because he just left. Whatever. We then see the kids go out on the road. Where? Nowhere in particular. We hear, I believe Robbie has identified this song as Radar Love.
Yeah.
Didn't ring any bells.
Radar Love by Golden Earring.
That was an 80s tune, I have to believe.
I think it was in the 70s, but...
Wow, okay.
I think so. I think it was Radio Love, 1973, yes.
All right, then. It did sound very 70s, you know, the Golden Earring just...
That's their... Anyway. They were kind of a one-hit wonder. That was their hit. I love what they do with it, though, because at the end they have Milhouse, like, fiddling with the tuner knobs.
Yeah.
In their rental car.
Up and down.
It makes it sound like garbage.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's Milhouse. Anything he does makes everything worse, as we'll see later on. at that point, Nelson hits him to get him to stop playing with the knobs. And when Milhouse appeals to Bart for sympathy, he gets nothing. Bart just says, yep, he sure did.
Yeah, he hit Bart. Nelson hit me. He's like, yep.
He sure did. Yep, that happened. I was there. I saw it. Also, I'd like to point out that at one point, Bart... gets up and starts walking around the back seat and says, oh, it's okay, we've got cruise control. And maybe in the future that's how cruise control worked, but back then that's definitely not how cruise control
works. No, that's how cruise control works, man.
Really? So it follows the road for you?
It just has that particular car had a very kind of like stiff steering column. It tended not to drift whatsoever. So Bart just set the speed and it just kept going straight. It's not that the car it was a very flat road. The tires were balanced really well, so they didn't tend to go left or right. They just stayed straight on straight. Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's I find it funny that neither Homer nor Bart seems to understand how cruise control works. as we'll see much, much later. But we then cut to Homer, who is at work without Lisa and is lonely this time because, you know, he had fun with Lisa hanging out last time. So he calls her up and says, hey, do you want to come hang out with me? And Lisa says, you know what? Sure, why not? I can learn about owls at bird camp. Which sounds like a fun place to go, actually. I would love to go to bird camp because I don't know nearly enough about birds.
Did you never have to take apart the owl throw up?
I did not. The owl pellet, I believe.
Yeah, I've done that. Fancy pants. Owl pellet. Oh. La-di-da.
Hey, I never had to do it. I'm just going by what my wife called it because she had to do it.
Apparently,
it was a thing only kids in wherever you two grew up.
I've done it twice, actually.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
It's a neat thing.
What do the kids do today? It's raining. Let's just have them dissect another owl pellet.
I think one was in a classroom and the other time was on a field trip.
Fun.
Hey, it's educational and sort of fun. You like get to pull out mouse bones and stuff.
That's true. Always fun to excise a carnivore's poop. You mm-hmm. see all the refuse.
It's not poop. It's throw up.
Whatever. Same diff.
No, really, Matt? Is that the same?
They smell pretty much the same.
Vomit and poop are the same to you?
Uh-huh. Totally.
I mean,
they're both vile, disgusting liquids I don't want to touch or put anywhere near my body.
Okay, one you deal with almost every day, the other much less regularly, all right? They're not the same.
Well, it depends how bulimic you are.
Really? Is this where we're going, Matt? Is this the story? Take this show. We gotta go.
Well, you're the one who took it in this direction.
No.
You and owl pellets. Anyway, getting back on track.
Bird camp.
We see them going through giant cornfields. Martin wakes up and makes the astute observation that they're in the vast cornfields of Canada, which Canada does have. I believe, all right, resident Canadian, is it Alberta or Saskatchewan? That's the breadbasket of Canada.
I think Saskatchewan, as far as I know.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I drove through a substantial portion of Saskatchewan. They certainly did have cornfields.
They have a lot. Corn is a very popular crop in the Midwest of Canada and the U.S. But of course, they're not actually going to the Grammar Rodeo, as Martin finds out. But no one really has an idea where they are going because they just started driving, I guess. Hopefully they have enough money for gas. But they all start giving suggestions, and most of them are stupid. What was Nelson's suggestion?
It's not
where
in
do
the
you
clip.
Go?
It's not in the clip.
Macon, Georgia. No, it's not in the clip. Sorry. I don't know why anyone would want to tour the bridges of Madison County or go to Macon, Georgia. Neither of those seem like fun places. But luckily, Milhouse to the rescue.
Wait, how about a fair? Not just a county fair, not just a Europe fair, but a world's fair. The World's Fair in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Keep reading.
The Hungarians have built a giant motorized Rubik's Cube, and the fair symbol is the Sun Sphere, which sits atop a 266-foot-tall steel shaft.
What's inside?
An information desk!
Cool!
So, it's a choice between Disney World and Knoxville.
Knoxville! Knoxville! Knoxville!
I concur.
So, yes. Thanks to Milhouse reading an extremely, spoiler alert, out-of-date world guidebook. they head off to
Knoxville, Tennessee.
The Knoxville World's Fair, which if people are still trying to figure out where Springfield is, they do have to end up going through Branson, Missouri to get to Knoxville, Tennessee. So unless they made a whole bunch of circles and stuff, I think that points to Springfield being west of the Mississippi.
Matt, they make it up every time. It doesn't matter.
What? That can't be right.
I don't care how much proof. I'm reading those news groups every single week. Everyone's like, no, it's here. This is proof. I'm like, the movie has we just had a trivia question. I did a trivia question for you last week. Four bordering states that are nowhere near each other. They know it's not real. They don't try and put it in a real place. It's like this Springfield is as real as their den.
The one that keeps moving all
the
over the
one
place?
That moves, yeah, that one. That is sometimes near the dining room and sometimes is in the front of the house and sometimes doesn't exist whatsoever.
And the Rupper's room we've seen twice.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So they decide, hey, we're going to head to the World's Fair. We'll get to the other name in a bit. So we go back to Homer and Lisa, and Lisa shows up, and Homer asks, "Hey, do you have any problems with security guards?" And Lisa says, "Security guards? Because a nuclear power plant is not the kind of place where you have guards of any type.
They have they have a guard shack."
Exactly. That's going to stop people. How did Lisa get there? Did Marge drop her off, or did she take the bus, or what?
Marge dropped her off. Well, the house is literally located right next to the power plant, so she just walked.
You better have the episode. But they immediately get to work stealing candy because apparently it's been in there for over a year, which would make me not really want said candy. But hey, Homer does.
You've eaten candy that is much older than a year old.
Much older than a year? I tend to stay away from vending machines.
Matt, I've guaranteed you've eaten candy over a year old just from the store.
Well, but I mean, I pretty much avoid a lot of vending machines and those sorts of things. But from the store? Really? You think a year old? I used to do rotations for candy, and if it ever got to a year old, they kicked it to the curb pretty quick. Although I have bought food at a Food Lion before, so that's not saying much.
You've never gone to the Russell Stover discount store?
I have not, surprisingly. I tend to stay away from candy discount stores. It's you know, a little scary.
I mean, you want a lot of candy and you need it for cheap. What are you going to do?
That's true. I can't deny that.
All right. Thank you.
Everyone has their candy budget.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa and Homer get a whole bunch of candy out. They name off some very delicious candies. And when Smithers comes by, they bribe him. They say, "Here you go. Would you like some of this candy that we just stole?" And of course, Smithers is like, "Well, I am partial to Jolly Ranchers." So they give him some, and everybody is happy, except for the vending machine person who probably lost a whole bunch of money on that. But well, you know,
it's been there for a year. I think Homer's kind of theory that it's been here for a year, it's fair game now. I think that's fine.
Fair enough. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that was anyone else's theory as well. But Homer and Lisa, obviously at this point, are definitely having fun. Their night shift becomes a slumber party because apparently Homer has to work the night shift, which is unusual. Maybe it's a rotation. Maybe he's on call. It's a nuclear power plant. These things happen.
It's there. It's there because they need a night shift for this episode.
Indeed. But it becomes a slumber party. They go out and they roast marshmallows on the roof, and you can see their house, and they're basically having a great time. Just the two of them.
It's very sweet.
All the Lisa Homer and Homer Lisa stuff, don't have a lot of sweet moments together.
All the Lisa and Homer stuff in this episode is very, very cute. I like it a lot.
We then cut back to Bart and the gang, who get up on the high side of this guy who it's him and his family. And of course, he's got littler kids than them. So they're fighting. He says one more word and we're turning the car back home. So, of course, Nelson reaches out the window, smacks him in the head, and he says, "Up, back to Winnipeg," which, no, you don't drive anywhere from Winnipeg. That's craziness.
I could see you driving Minneapolis from Winnipeg. If you're going
to 3 or 4 days, right?
If you're going to Winnipeg to Minneapolis is probably a day's drive, less than a day. Like it's probably like
God, Canada's huge.
It's probably like a 7 hour drive, 6 or 7 to Winnipeg to Branson is 15 to 16 hours.
Why? That's insane. I mean, I understand even back in the '90s, airfare was still rather expensive, especially for a large family. But whew, that is long.
I mean, Branson has its appeal.
Well, we don't know that they were going to Branson. We just know that they were on the way in that direction.
Right after this, we see them in Branson.
Maybe they were going past Branson. Maybe they were going to tour the old World's Fair places. You know, you hit Chicago, St. Louis, Knoxville. But one of the nice things about having Bart in charge is you get to stop anywhere, anytime anyone wants something. So they stop for ice cream. They stop for a couple other things. Milhouse suggests a hitchhiker. They then stop for ice cream with the suggestion of the hitchhiker, and luckily no one dies. I mean, you know, because the hitchhiker they happen to pick up is a rather nice person. But then we go back to Marge, who is sad and lonely. She is basically by herself, and even goes so far as to just stare out the window at this point.
This episode's weird. It's
weird.
Weirdly,
it is. Yeah.
It's weirdly shaped. It's like this very like adventurous thing with Bart and the boys, and then Homer and Lisa have their like their character and close personal stuff with each other, and then Marge is just alone, and there's multiple scenes where people purposely don't want to talk to her. It's just a little strange. I mean, I like it because it does. There's so many episodes that are like, say, Homer-centric episodes, and you don't. What's Marge doing when all this stuff is happening? And the answer is
not much.
staring out the window, sadly.
Well, I feel like in most episodes, Marge has somebody else who is not part of the main plot, either Bart or Lisa or, you know, something. In this episode, they literally go to great lengths to show that, oh, Marge has nobody, which is sad. But, you know, it happens, you know. After that, we go to back to the Bart and gang, and they're on the road. And as we have been alluding to and sort of mentioning, they pass by Branson, Missouri.
What is this place?
Branson, Missouri. My dad says it's like Vegas if it were run by Ned Flanders.
Andy Williams!
We don't need to stop here.
Yes, we do!
No, so, you don't pull Andy Williams' performance?
I did, and then I cut it because it's Andy Williams. If you've heard Andy Williams before, which surprisingly I have, it sounds like he does everywhere. So, you know, it's not, you know, surprising. It's great. It's a very visual gag because you can see all the other boys asleep, and Nelson is just enraptured. He's super excited to be there and see Andy Williams. And when he does Moon River, apparently it just melts Nelson's heart. So, you know, if you need anything, hey.
His face, Nelson's face in that scene is so perfectly captures. Nelson is this, yeah. He's, I don't know if we've ever seen him so happy before.
I doubt it. I mean, that's Nelson for you. I mean.
Poor sad Nelson.
Apparently, yeah, he has this, Nelson has this weird background of poor and rural and seems to be kind of country with his love for Andy Williams. And there's somebody else he really liked, I thought, that was very, you know, I don't want to say redneck, but very country kind of thing. But, you know, obviously it's just one of those things with Nelson. He likes the weirdest things. But we move back to Lisa and Homer once again. They're playing Truth or Dare. And Lisa immediately asks, when Homer picks Truth, who do you love most? Homer then moves to Dare, which you're not allowed to do, Homer. But it works out in this case because...
I feel like you can... If it is up to the person issuing. You know, if they want to hold you firm, they have their... That is their right. But if they are... You know, they want to be nice to you, they can certainly allow you to change.
Fair enough. Lisa dares Homer to make a prank call to Mo, and while it's not the best prank call ever, it's still pretty good. He basically calls Mo and asks for, "You're a snotball," and Mo says, "You're a snotball?" Homer gets mad, and one of the all-time greatest threats, he's going to staple a flag to Mo's butt and mail him to Iran, which is, that's good. I like that. That works out pretty well. That's quite the threat. Homer then asks Lisa who she likes as a truth, and she doesn't want to tell him, but she eventually tells him Langdon Alger, which is a completely fake, made-up person, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, it's The Simpsons, so obviously.
He enjoys puzzles. He's very quiet.
He's quiet, and he enjoys puzzles, and that's why Lisa likes him, is because nobody knows him, which seems like the kind of guy Lisa would be into. We then see Marge, who once again is ridiculously bored. She apparently does not want to get ahead in the world of real estate through hypnosis. So instead she goes and pokes Maggie until she wakes up and crying. So Marge will have something to do and someone to exist with, I guess.
It's company. Maggie is company.
It's company.
In this case.
There you go. Yeah. So, I don't know. From there we see Marge's sadness. We go back to Bart and Co, who basically have finally come upon the wondrous, wondrous...
Hurry up! We've only got 4 days to spend at the... Whatever. Excuse me. Is this the World's Fair Visitor Center?
Used to be, back in 1982. You're 14 years too late.
But there's another World's Fair coming soon, right? Before Friday?
No, no, Milhouse. I'm afraid that that's not how that works. because, of course, the World's Fairs only happen once, for those of you who don't know. It's kind of like the Olympics, where you put on a big spectacle for a lot of money, and then everything is just shut down and torn down at the end. So when it happened in 1984, what was 84, right? I can't remember for some reason.
82.
82, sorry. The 1982 World's Fair, it's not coming back, ever.
84 was the last World's Fair that took place in the U.S., New Orleans.
Oh, okay. Do they still have World's Fairs?
They still, indeed they do, just not here. They haven't had one in the U.S. since before I was born. They've not had a World's Fair in the U.S. Now, let me, I looked up, actually, because I was curious. I think there's going to be one next year in, is it Kazakhstan? And then one in 2020 in Dubai. They have them in Europe and Asia, mostly in Europe. If you look at all of them throughout history, like 70% of them have been in Europe, and then like the 20% in the Western Hemisphere, and then like 10% are like very recently in other places. Italy had one last year. No, 2 years ago, I think. 2015? I think Italy had one.
You always hear a lot about World Fairs in the past. I did not realize they were still a thing. I thought for some reason they had just stopped having them.
Well, the U.S. has lost all purpose for having looking at the future. You know, why would we need to do that?
Basically, the kids are pretty much screwed at this point because it turns out that Martin has spent their last, was it $5, $10 on an Al Gore doll.
I don't think it's specified how much he spent. I think he just spent our last dollar.
Oh, on this Al Gore doll.
Yeah.
At that point, everyone is very upset. So Nelson takes the opportunity to chuck a rock at the Wigsphere, which then crushes the car. So they are extra screwed. And Nelson, of course, is proud that he knocked over the Sun Sphere. And with that, we go to commercial.
I mean, he did knock over that Sun Sphere really well.
Indeed, he did. He is a good guy. Yeah.
So we come back from commercial and they're basically trapped in Knoxville. They have no car. They have no money. They have no way to get home. I think it is Martin that suggests they call their parents finally, that they are in over their head. Bart disagrees. They first try and sell Milhouse's glasses to a pawn shop called Hawksville. Pretty good. I like
Sounds
that.
Right.
That's pretty good. But Milhouse glasses also prohibit him from seeing, and he destroys that poor man's antique Coke bottle collection. I probably wouldn't stack it like that. That seems very precarious.
No, but I mean, it's a display, so you know. Milhouse also forgets the one rule of, hey, I can't see, maybe I shouldn't move.
They try and hop a train. They only succeed in losing all their clothes and stuff. They throw all that away, but then they can't catch up. Finally, Bart doesn't call his parents. I mean, he talks to Marge and then immediately wants to talk to Lisa. Again, another sad Marge scene. And tells Lisa everything, that no, there is no National Grammar Rodeo. We're trapped here. We're in trouble. Please help. And she suggests that Bart becomes a courier, because couriers get to travel for free. He goes to Hong Kong to deliver eyeballs.
Hey, someone's got to take them.
I guess? Does that work like that? Do eyeballs work like that?
Yeah. I mean, it'd probably be packed in dry ice. I don't know if they are stable enough to be transported such a long distance, but that's how you get eyeballs eyeball donor.
Knoxville to Hong Kong?
Maybe.
It's like a day-long flight.
Yeah.
It seems like
if you need them.
I guess that's true. And he is spotted by Principal Skinner, just happens to be eating at a food court in the airport. If I was visiting Hong Kong, I probably would not spend too much time in the airport, if possible. But it comes to the point where Bart is getting desperate, calls Lisa, tells her this, and Lisa has to come up with something. She has to get him home, get something delivered from Knoxville to Springfield so that Bart can deliver it and secret away all three of the boys with him. And the only thing Lisa can think of is she has to tell Homer.
What's wrong, honey?
There's something troubling me, Dad, but I don't think I can tell you because it's a secret.
You don't have to tell me, but I thought we trusted each other with our secrets now. I mean, I haven't told a soul about your new boyfriend.
Langdon Alger? Oh, I don't like him anymore. Okay, but you gotta promise you won't get mad or tell anyone, especially Bart.
I promise.
Bart rented a car with a phony driver's license and drove Milhouse, Nelson, and Martin to a wig outlet in Knoxville, and the car got crushed and they're out of money and they can't get home, and Bart's working as a courier and just came back from Hong Kong!
Yes, that's a real pickle. Would you excuse me for a moment? All right, I have thought this through. I will send Bart the money to fly home, then I will murder him.
No, no, then he'll know I told. Dad, you said I could trust you.
Oh, then I will murder him.
Oh, poor sweet Lisa.
Oh, man, the way they frame Homer's face as he learns this news, and then there's like this weird, like horror shadow that comes over him. It's just spectacular. Homer wants to help. He also doesn't want to betray Lisa's trust. So he decides to basically save the day and order a safety command console from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay, we'll work this out together. First things first, where is Knoxville?
It's in Tennessee, right next to the Oak Ridge Nuclear Facility, birthplace of the atomic bomb.
Oh, maybe we could order something from Oak Ridge.
And Bart could be the courier.
Hello, Oak Ridge. This is Springfield Nuclear. We need to order a T-437 safety command console.
Springfield, my computer shows your T-437 is fully operational.
And have it sent to the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant, care of Homer J.
No, don't use your real name or Bart will know.
Forget the name Homer Simpson. Have it sent care of Langdon Auger.
Probably need your safety command console.
Probably, although the guy was like, oh, you want to order one? Well, you already have one that works, so why would you want one? As a backup or a spare?
Well, they're probably insanely expensive.
Probably, but when you have a nuclear power plant, you have extras of those kind of things. It's kind of important.
Maybe they already have a backup.
Maybe unlikely.
Okay. But they order, they send it, the Bart delivers it, all the kids are in it, despite maybe a little bit oxygen deprived, and Bart returns, and he's like, yeah, and the grammar rodeo was great, and he's happy. Lisa and Homer are both mad at him because he's obviously not learned anything from his insane adventure. Marge is beaming with joy because she has her son back, and he's apparently done quite well at the grammar rodeo. But then we get a short scene at the very end of the episode with Marge handling some fallout through some phone calls.
Hello? Oh, hello, Principal Skinner. No, Bart has never been to Hong Kong. Good night. Hello? Tennessee State Police? No, my son's car was not crushed in Knoxville. I don't know where to begin telling you what's wrong with that. Hello? No, Bart is not available tomorrow to deliver a human kidney to Amsterdam. Homer, are you laughing at me?
Homer's totally laughing at her because he's in on the joke.
Yeah, he can't help it that I think he's just enjoying that Marge is finally maybe learning about the things that he's had to learn about over the past.
Yeah.
Whenever. But that's it. That's the end of the episode. It's a strange one.
It's strange, but good.
It's a very enjoyable, fun, adventure-y. It makes me think of Lemon of Troy and episodes like that. You know, it's a very kind of like hijinks caper kind of episode. Although it does, the thing that stands out to me is that it is a completely absurd premise. Like the entire thing is, like every step along the way is absurd and insane. Like Bart gets a fake ID, everyone buys it. He gets a car, and then they make it to Knoxville. Then it gets crushed, and then he works as a courier, goes to Hong Kong, and then comes back. Hiding away three other children in a giant box full of nuclear power plant, like parts.
Of course. What is odd about that?
Everything about it is completely absurd and unrealistic. However, because it is grounded so much in, like, the very beginning of the episode is so grounded in authentic, I don't know, emotion and authentic feelings. Like, Bart's boredom of spring break and them getting this fake ID and then kind of realizing there's not really that many great things you get to do with it. And then, like, coming up, like, there's this episode is like you get to just see them kind of driving for a while. Like, there's a lot of, like, room. So we were talking about this in the new episode review on our Patreon about this past week's episode, where it's jam-packed full of plot, but there's not really a lot of room to breathe. You don't get really, like, time ever to, like, kind of understand what's happening and to kind of drink it in. And this episode has all of that. It couches all that absurd, completely unrealistic things in authentic feelings and desires, and it makes it. I never once, like, as I'm watching, I never once go, "Oh, that's impossible." I just go, "Oh, that's fun." I just go, "Oh, that's so much fun." Everything in this episode is fun, except for maybe Marge being sad. That's not quite so. Well, that's not so much fun, but it is. It does also that couches in that authentic feeling. You know, it's Marge has to be doing something while all this crazy stuff's happening. Even if it is just poking Maggie.
Yeah.
We'll rank it. At the end of the show, we have two submissions for my favorite episode. First, from Nate. "I did not realize my favorite episode was coming up so quickly. Bart on the Road is a wonderful episode. I love oddly specific random gags like the Knoxville World's Fair, Bird Camp, and Andy Williams. Both the A and B stories are hilarious, and they closely tie together in the third act. It's a lot like Lemon of Troy in that we see a group of kids and how they interact. It's great to see how the different kids spend their day with their parents and what they decide to do on their road trip. I also love the B-plot. I love Homer-Lisa plots, and this is such a cute and simple one. This one's also got some great quotes, Purple is a Fruit and Dorcas Malorcas, and you gotta love that tag with Marge getting the phone calls. All in all, a very tight, very funny, very sweet episode. Sorry for getting a bad case of the rambles. Love the show, Nate." Thanks, Nate. Next, we have from Eduardo. "Good evening, you beautiful gents. I'm going to say Bart on the Road is the best episode ever due to a bizarre reference I cannot find an explanation for. Nelson's strange obsession with Macon, Georgia. My girlfriend is from Macon, Georgia, and when we watched this episode together and Nelson mentioned always wanting to go to Macon, we both were shocked. One, because it's a small, unassuming town, and two, who the hell would want to go to Macon, Georgia? I tried Googling to see why it was referenced and turned up nothing. The town is never mentioned again on The Simpsons. The only other shows that have mentioned it, to my knowledge, are Futurama and Bob's Burgers. The best episodes are the ones that make you question whether or not we're all living in a computer simulation that's self-aware and occasionally likes to make you think you're crazy. Love the show. Keep it up." Thank you, Eduardo. And also from Brulax11, whoever you are. "This has always been one of those episodes that I taped and watched over and over again when I was a young lad. I could still watch it over and over again 20 years later. What would Bart do with a load of cash, a car, and a fake driver's license? Take Martin, Milhouse, and Nelson on a journey across country and get stranded in Tennessee. This episode kind of calls back to Homer Alone with the roles reversed, as Marge to feel needed as mother has to provoke Maggie, Lisa and Homer bonding at work, and prank calling Mo. Best part is when Lisa tells Homer what Bart has done. Homer's face goes blood red, and he has to spend some time in his radiation mask cursing his son. I will send Bart the money to get home, and then I will murder him." Followed up by Homer purposely pouring his soda on his safety console, endangering the entire town once again. Nothing very deep, not really any memorable guest stars, just the Simpsons being wacky, and Nelson getting to listen to his hero, Andy Williams. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, see what people are talking about the week or two after an episode debuted, what they thought and felt, and if there's any interesting stuff coming out of there. This is almost unanimously positive.
Which is unusual, but I'm okay with that. I mean, for once, it's that positive. I'm good. Good job, guys. Good try.
Well, I mean, it's fun. It's a fun episode, regardless of what, I don't know what you like out of The Simpsons. It doesn't do everything. I think it's one of those episodes that doesn't do anything, one thing particularly amazing. Like, it's not like, hey, it's mm-hmm. a great, it's not, it has, it's very funny. It's not the funniest episode. It has character stuff, especially with Lisa and Homer, but it doesn't have the most of that. It's not like full of like meta commentary or any of that stuff, but it has little bits of everything, and it's structured very well for having so many different things happening. So I think that's why. I mean, A's and B's.
It's surprising, but hey, we finally found something they can agree on.
Also got some reviews of people who went to the Knoxville World's Fair. I pulled one guy's review because it was the most, I think, most comprehensive. His post was, I went several times living in Oak Ridge, quote, birthplace of the atomic bomb, where, by the way, there is where there is no Oak Ridge nuclear plant, but rather a group of labs, the most famous being the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. I enjoyed the World's Fair. Perhaps I didn't have to put too much energy into attending it. I had a press pass and did several stories about the fair. Didn't have to pay to get in at any time. There are highlights such as the China Pavilion and also low points, but overall it was quite well done. I think there was one more World's Fair in the U.S. after that, which was New Orleans, someone posts after. But I don't remember what it was, except I believe it was also in the South. It didn't make money unless the Knoxville Fair, which did. I do remember being perplexed they would choose Knoxville to host a World's Fair, but I tried not to mind too much. It was about energy. The theme for the Knoxville World's Fair was energy, which seems to be a lot of
the Sun Sphere.
I guess so. It seems to be like one of the upcoming World's Fair is also theme is energy. So I guess they just kind of rotate future looking topics. There is also apparently like a forum war about this dude named Chris who's like trolling, and like multiple people were like trying to troll back to him. It was very strange. I was just looking at it. It's like multiple posts on a Simpsons message board just about some guy. About how he...
Some guy
named Chris. It was strange, but whatever. Internet. Hey, guess what? Internet still hasn't changed that much.
Shocking.
It's still kind of the same. But that's what I found. You know, stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
We can move on. Our next segment is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Selma quote? Tons of great answers, as always. Nick, I always like Selma's ineptness for taking care of kids, especially in Selma's Choice. Bart, be quiet. Lisa, drink the water. Best sum Selma up. Elaine's answer, one I use on a weekly basis. Oh, this looks like fun. A bench.
That's one of my favorites, personally.
As I've gotten older, every time I go to a theme park, I'm more like Selma and less like Bart and Lisa. It's more like, oh, a place to sit for a while. That just sounds like fun. Chris's answer, am I wrong or did it just get fatter in here? I've used this line so many times in my life, I can't even begin to count. Michael, another great DMV quote. Okay, one more step. I just got to go laminate your license. You'll get it in 2 to 3 weeks. That was in this episode. Elliot's answer, it's like he just disappeared into fat air. That's pretty good. Tim, don't be scared, Jub Jub. It's Mama. That's a nice one. That's a sweet one. Yeah. Abby's, it all tastes like styrofoam to me. That's a thing you forget about Selma. She has no taste buds. She can't taste anything.
That's true. I forgot about that.
From Aiden, Fat Tony, now I take care of you. Selma's, take care of me or take care of me? Take care of you. I can't do the voice. I'm not Joe Montana. I can't do Fat Tony. Mm-hmm. Josh at Josh Horton 32. You're charming the pants off me. What did you say, Aunt Selma? I said, take off those damn glasses. Dan at Smoking Dan from Monty Can't Buy Me Love. Guess what, girls? He's single. Single? Well, he passes the Selma test. Shamsula at Iron Cheek 84. All I got now is sperm in a cup.
Dang it, you people are too good.
They're not trying to take yours, Matt. They just like things.
I think they are.
And Amanda at John at Sanity, too fat Tony, and I don't know whether to peck you on your kicker or kick you on your ...
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Matt, is that your answer? Is the sperm in a cup your answer?
Yes, is the sperm in a cup.
I don't know. It's a good quote. It's a good one. I think it really typifies Selma and kind of the sadness she has and the sadness she carries with her. My answer is from, it's not really about her, but it shows like the nice side of her. It is from I Married Marge, when she tells Marge where Homer is. Marge, I've got 2.5 words for you. Gulp and blow.
Uh-huh.
I like the gag and I like the sentiment of Selma like caring about her sister. It's nice.
It is wonderful.
Next week's question. What is your favorite Nelson quote? I forget if we've done a Nelson one before. I think we have, but I can't remember. Doesn't matter. We're doing it now. Favorite Nelson quote. I will post this question all over social media. Facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. And you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Guess what, Matt?
Guess what?
It's time
chicken
for the...
butt?
Oh, yes. Chicken butt. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions, 1 easy, 1 medium, 1 hard, try and stump the other. We have a wager for this season. The host that loses must attempt to eat, in one sitting, 64 slices of American cheese. I'm currently 9 points behind Matt. We've like 5 or 6 episodes to go, I believe. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 episodes to go. So it's achievable.
It's achievable, but I'm going to try and make it hard.
That's not very nice, Matt.
Well, you know.
I expect you to try and adhere to the easy, medium, hard guidelines, of course, right? You
want
to just,
yes.
You want to just do
three
hard questions on me.
No, I'm actually a little worried that today's questions are a little too easy, but we'll see.
You say that before, and then I get nothing right.
Well, we know different things.
You ready for an easy question?
Things go. Yes.
These are all from The Ziff Who Came to Dinner.
Oof, I have not seen that in a very long time.
Your easy question. In The Ziff Who Came to Dinner, who did the Simpsons discover living in their attic?
I believe it would be Artie Ziff.
That is correct. That is correct.
All right. Are you ready for your easy question?
Sure.
What animal provokes the crackdown on illegal immigrants in Much a Poo About Nothing?
That's a bear.
It is correct. It's a bar.
So it's a bear.
Luckily, there was no Davy Crockett to kill him a bar.
We're here. We're queer. We don't want any more bears.
Do you have an appointment? Yes, I called ahead. Sorry.
Your medium question. In The Ziff Who Came to Dinner, what movie do the Simpsons see with Rod and Todd?
Oh, it's a scary movie. It's like Damien. I think I got this name right, but The Redeadening?
Gardening?
I'm gonna go with Redeadening.
Is that it? Is that your answer?
Yeah, that's it.
You're correct.
Oh, whew! Oh man.
Starring, a small part, Lenny has a small part in it.
Oh, that's right. It's Baby Button Eyes. That's what it was. Baby Button Eyes.
What's my medium question, Matt?
All right, Robbie, your medium question. What are the names of Apu's American parents that he gets from Fat Tony?
Oh, God. Oh, man. Your parents are blank and blank Nahasapima Petalon. They're very American names, very waspy names. I know that. Paul and Judy? It's a guess.
Is that your final answer?
Sure, it's a guess.
I'm sorry. It is Herb and Judy.
You're
close.
Okay. Your hard question. Also, still from The Ziff Who Came to Dinner.
Okay.
Artie reads what book to Lisa?
I have no idea.
The Corrections by Jonathan Franzen.
What is that?
It's a book. Modern literature.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't like it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Almost certainly would not enjoy it. I
would not
peg you as a Jonathan Franzen fan.
Probably not. Okay.
What's my hard question, Matt?
All right. Your hard question. Who talks to Apu from the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
Their cold dead eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember that, but I can't remember who it is.
I know. I was like, oh man, he might remember this.
Their cold dead eyes. Entertainment Weekly. Julia Roberts.
I'm sorry. It's Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
I even was thinking like Tom Cruise, and I'm like, no, they would use a woman because it would be funnier, but they did both. Okay.
Sorry, man.
I'm
still proud of you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Does that make me not have to eat
in
cheese?
I don't know about that, but I do feel like you should get one of the 2 points for at least getting Judy in his parents right.
I don't want it. I'm not taking your pity point.
All right. Fair enough.
Maybe. No, I'll take your pity point. I need to stay as close as I can. I don't want to eat cheese. I have a bonus question for you.
Ooh, okay.
From John Winchester. From Brother from the Same Planet. Complete the quote. Here are some words that rhyme with Corey.
I know the two of them are allegory and Montessori. I think the other one is just straight up story. I don't remember the rest.
You're missing one word.
Oh, man. I have no idea what it is.
Here are some words that rhyme with Corey. Glory, story, allegory, Montessori. Glory is the one you missed.
Yes, yes, yes.
But thank you, John, for that. If you guys want to send in any questions, I will happily accept them, throw them at Matt. People have also sent me, like, here's three questions to use so you can try and beat Matt. I'm like, I do greatly appreciate the sentiment, that I feel like that's cheating. I come up with my own questions. I don't want to use anyone else's, though they are very good. I may use them as bonus questions at some point. We can move on to our final segment. A segment we end every single episode with. It's time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. I do have a finite. This episode is at least as good as.
Okay.
And that's number 25, Bart vs. Australia. I think this is better.
I would definitely
better
agree.
Than Bart vs. Australia. I don't know how far up it is. It is better than that for sure.
Well, it's hard to say. We can't really say this is a Bart episode or this is a Lisa episode, because it's mostly a Bart episode, but it does seem to be spread fairly evenly throughout the whole family.
Yeah, the whole family gets time. Mm. Plus, we get time with Nelson, Martin, and Milhouse. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a very hijinksy, caper, wacky adventure kind of episode, but it does have some genuine heart with Homer and Lisa there. The Lisa confessing her crush and Homer trusting her and not blowing up at Bart, even though Bart probably, I mean, Bart did deserve it.
He really did. My question for you is, this actually seems to compare, for me, pretty well to Bart of Darkness. It's got a little something of Lisa, a little something of Bart. The parents are in there a little bit. Do you think this is better than Bart of Darkness?
Mm. Yes.
I would agree. I definitely think that it's not a lot better, but slightly better. But Sideshow Bob Roberts, I'm going to have a hard time saying this is better than that. I really like Sideshow Bob Roberts.
I like it more than Sideshow Bob Roberts. I don't know if it's better, but I like it more. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's better. Mm-hmm. I think it's better than Sideshow Bob Roberts.
Really? Really? Why is that?
It's funnier.
Yeah, that's kind of what I keep going back to, is how funny this episode is. It doesn't have a lot of, like, super interesting plot. See our bonus episode for this week for a heavy discussion of how important plot is to The Simpsons. But there's a lot of laughs in this episode.
Purple's a fruit. I'm gonna.
They won't hire me an assistant.
I will send the money to Bart, and then I will murder him.
I mean, the next one up that I can remember that really makes me laugh consistently is Lemon of Troy. Is this better than Lemon of Troy?
I don't think so. I don't know if I put it above Lisa on Ice, which is just above Sideshow Bob Roberts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think Lisa on Ice is funnier?
No, but I think Lisa on Ice. One, the ending of this episode is just kind of peters out there with Marge. Like,
yeah, that's definitely true.
Like, Lisa on Ice is like, the ending is just boom. It is Bart and Lisa skating, and it's like a very heartfelt moment, but also like definitive. It is just like, hey.
It's definitive, and the stuff going around them at the exact same time is hilarious.
Yeah.
Especially with Homer.
Yeah, and like it has that ending just kind of get, I think that's what. When I was thinking about, like, Bart of Darkness, that is also a similar ending where it's just kind of like, oh, wait, no, it's over. And
let's take a minute and a half to explain it and then get the hell out.
Yeah, I feel like Lisa on Ice is plenty funny. Also, I think it's structured, it's just tighter. But I would put this right above Sideshow Bob Roberts.
Yeah. I can be okay with that, I think.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Okay. New number 23 on our list is Bart on the Road, just above Sideshow Bob Roberts, just below Lisa on Ice. Number one is still Cape Fear. Last place is still Homer's Odyssey at 139. What's our next episode, Matt?
Our next episode is 22 short films about Springfield. Yes, folks, we have waited. We have sweat and bled for this moment, but it's finally here.
You hold that episode in high regard, do you, Matt?
I do.
All right. You can find this list on our website, simplythesimpsonsshow.com, broken down by season as in total. Also, there are links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, to our Patreon, if you'd like to throw us a couple dollars. We'd love it. Also, every new episode there, download them streaming. As long as our feed stuff, RSS feed stuff, doesn't go down, which it decides to do almost randomly. It's very upsetting.
Indeed it is.
But I think that'll do it. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. And please check out my other podcasts, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, just about comic books, and The Serial Fanaticist. That's Serial Fanatic, IST. It's about lots of stuff.
Like stuff and junk.
Stuff and junk. You know, whatever.
Like, you know, whatever.
We'll get there soon enough. Matt does not participate in social media. Unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer, you will not find him.
That's true. However, being as I am a Floridian, I'm going to go outside this weekend and just soak up the sun. So, it's going to be a nice, pleasant 80 degrees. I'm going to try and get Robbie on the phone and just describe to him how wonderfully warm it is. So, if you got one of those planes with a ticker behind it, I will probably see it if you're flying over, Orlando this weekend. So feel free to toss me a message anytime. I'll relay it to Robbie over the phone connection while he weeps at the cold.
Hey, I'm going to be in Calgary, and it's going to be freezing, literally. Only freezing.
Only freezing. Woo!
Freezing is, we can walk outside, and it's not a big deal. Just have to have some layers on. It's okay. It's not like negative 30 where you can put on a lot of layers, and the wind hits you, and you want to, crawl into a little hole, in a warm hole, and not move. So, couple months, and then it gets to tolerable, stays tolerable, and then it gets, and then I will laugh at you in the summer when you're outside in 105 degree heat with 100% humidity and it's like 70 here. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's true. It will be awful in the summertime. So yeah,
that's your weekly Simpsons Show weather report. I'm Robbie,
and I'm Matt,
and keep watching the Simpsons.